Please take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And let us stand together as we give honor to the reading of God's Word. Remember, God's Word is holy, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. Father, help us not to remain as babies who consume only milk, but help us to be like adults who take solid food. Father, help us to mature in our understanding of the scriptures so that we can discern both good and evil. So, Father, as we open your word this evening, we pray for the guidance and the illumination of the Holy Spirit concerning the truths found in this passage. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is always fascinating to hear the stories of how someone is saved by grace through faith in Jesus. God uses various people and circumstances to save the lost people. I am sure we can find many writings on testimonies of people. But as I contemplate how the Lord brought me to faith, it's fascinating. At that time, I was a kid, a Hindu, and we were having school vacation. An Indian pastor in our community took the time to visit our poor neighborhood and invited us to church. It is at the church that we learn the gospel during the Sunday school and then at worship. In fact, I was saved through the text, John chapter 3 verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm sure you may have your own story of how God saved you. Here in today's text, we find a fascinating story of how God saved an Ethiopian eunuch through the ministry of Philip. In the past, we saw how God saved 3,000 souls through the ministry of Peter in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. We saw how God saved many Samaritans through the ministry of Philip. Now God would show us how He saved an Ethiopian eunuch through the ministry of Philip. So we're going to examine this text under four headings. Number one, obedience of Philip, verse 26, obedience of Philip. Number two, ignorance of the Ethiopian eunuch, ignorance of the Ethiopian eunuch, verses 27 through 34. Third, proclamation of the gospel, verses 35 through 40. Verse 35. And fourth, response to the gospel. Verses 36 through 39. Obedience of Philip, ignorance of the Ethiopian eunuch, proclamation of the gospel, response to the gospel. So let us begin by looking at the first heading, obedience of Philip, verse 26. Now who is Philip? We all know he was a man of reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. In fact, he was a godly man, holy man. He was one of the seven appointed as a deacon to attend to the needs of the Hellenistic Jews. Philip was a Greek-speaking Jew. Philip, like Stephen, was preaching Christ to the Samaritans. Now the angel of the Lord, or the Spirit of God, commanded Philip to go to Gaza from Jerusalem. We are not given the reason why he was commanded to go to Gaza, but simply he was commanded, arise and go. Arise and go. As you can notice, Philip was always ready to go and do ministry of God. In fact, he was eager to do mission. He was eager to carry out the mission of God. Philip was not only given the destination, but he was not given the details. You know, Jerusalem to Gaza was not an easy route. It was a desert region. There were sand dunes. Probably there was lack of water. And certainly there must have been great heat. I wonder who would go to that place, considering the conditions and circumstances? Did Philip say no? Of course he did not. Philip was willing to face hardships. He knew ministry is not easy. So can we expect comfort in doing ministry of God? Of course we should not expect. Are we prepared to face hardship? Certainly Philip was prepared to face all kinds of hardship. In fact, what we are seeing here is Philip demonstrated complete obedience to God. And that is what God expects from all of us. Obedience to God's word. And so, will you be ready to obey God at all times and under all conditions? And that is obedience of Philip. Now we come to the second heading. Ignorance of the Ethiopian, verses 27 through 34. Ignorance of the Ethiopian eunuch. What is the meaning of ignorance? Ignorance basically means lack of knowledge. This particular Ethiopian eunuch acknowledged ignorance. Now, who is this Ethiopian eunuch? It appears that this man was probably a dark-skinned person who lived somewhere near Egypt. Perhaps today's Sudan, or maybe Ethiopia, not sure. But this particular man was called the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a eunuch because, I don't want to be graphic, in other words, his testicles had been removed. And that is why he was in charge of the treasury at the palace of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Now let us not underestimate this eunuch. He was a man of great authority. He was a man of great authority. And this man came to Jerusalem and was returning to his home country. Now the question is this, why did he come to Jerusalem? What was his purpose of coming to Jerusalem? And we are given the answer in verse 27. He came to worship God at the temple of Jerusalem. In other words, he was a believer of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He believed in the God of the Bible. And so, he traveled not 1 mile, but 1,500 miles from somewhere near Egypt to Jerusalem on his chariot to worship this triune God. Just think about this figure, 1,500 miles. On a car, it may take 25 hours. If you're driving like me, 60 miles per hour. 25 hours. Imagine traveling on a chariot. It must have been a few days trip for him. But then what was his motivation? Today many Christians are finding difficulties to go to church to worship the triune God. And they give all kinds of excuses. No time, I'm busy. Distant. It's far. Certainly churches cannot be as far as 1,500 miles from your home. If distance was a problem, then this Ethiopian would not have traveled to Jerusalem to worship. This distance was not a problem to him. Why? What was the motivation? Because of his devotion to God, his allegiance to God. So does distance matter to you in order to attend worship? And certainly I'm not talking about 1,500 miles of distance. So the Ethiopian eunuch was on his way to his home country. He was traveling in a chariot and he was reading the book of Isaiah. We are told that the Spirit commanded Philip to go and overtake the chariot. And Philip perceived that the eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah. Why? Most probably, he must have been reading loudly for Philip to hear. And Luke tells us in verse 32 what the eunuch was reading. It is clear that he was reading from Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And that's what we are told in verse 32. So what is interesting is this. The question that the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip. Look at verse 13. Sorry, the question that Philip asked the Ethiopian. Verse 30. Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And then the Ethiopian eunuch replied Philip in this manner. Look at verse 31, how he replied. How can I, unless someone guides me? My friends, what can we learn from his reply? The reply from the Ethiopian eunuch. Two things. Number one, we can learn humility. See, this particular Ethiopian eunuch admitted his ignorance, his lack of knowledge of the scripture. He did not act smart. Yes, I got it all. I understand. No. He admitted his ignorance. He was humble. And secondly, we can learn his teachable spirit. Philip asked the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian replied, Philip, how can I unless someone guides me? And let us be honest. It is not easy to understand the Bible. It is not easy. Sometimes I have to read the chapter several times. And that is why God has provided Bible teachers, elders, and pastors. God has provided Bible study and the preaching of sermons. So we must make use of all these means to learn God's word. And are we doing that? We have all these means, but yet we are not making full use of all these means. See, the Bible is not man's word, but God's word. And is it not a great privilege to have God's word in our hands? Just imagine, in those days, they only had the Bible in the original languages, Hebrew and Greek. There was no translated version. And people died in the cause of translating the Bible. And here we have the Bibles in our own languages, yet we are not appreciated. We are trying to get a Bible for someone in the Burmese language. And it is not easy. And it is not cheap. But we have the Bible. And how often do we take out a Bible and read? And the thing is that, do we really consider the Bible as God's word? So let us be humble and be teachable, just like the Ethiopian eunuch. See, the Ethiopian eunuch did not want to remain ignorant. He was curious. In humility and wanting to learn more of Isaiah 53, he asked a very good question. I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? My friends, this is a crucial question. And he asked the right question. In God's providence, he asked the right question. And we need to be like the eunuch and ask this kind of question. So how did Philip reply? So we come to the third heading, proclamation of the gospel, verse 35. Proclamation of the gospel. Philip replied the eunuch's question by proclaiming the gospel. See, notice here, Philip sees the given opportunity to proclaim the gospel. In the apologetics, we would say this. That was the contact point for Philip. Philip used Isaiah 53 as the base or contact point to preach the gospel to Philip, to the eunuch. And look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preach Jesus to him. What was the Ethiopian eunuch reading exactly? It was Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And certainly this must have been Philip's preaching text. He preached, number one, who Jesus is. He would have preached the deity of Jesus, starting from the virgin birth of Jesus. He would have spoken about the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ. That Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Virgin Mary without her husband Joseph. And he would have talked all about the two natures of Christ. The human aspect and the divine aspect of Jesus. And this is what we should do also. Second, he would have preached what Christ has done. See, basically these are the two things we also should do. We should speak about the deity of Jesus and what Christ has done. So what Christ has done? From this passage, Isaiah 53 verses 7 and 8, he would have preached the substitutionary atonement of Jesus. He would have spoken about Christ's suffering, his death and resurrection. See, Jesus became the substitute for sinners. Being a substitute, Jesus atoned for our sins on the cross. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb of God for the slaughter. And Jesus did not argue or debate to defend his innocence, but was crucified on the cross. he in fact experienced no justice, but humiliation. He died, but was raised to life, and then ascended to heaven. And here we want to talk about this particular word, substitution. Substitution means put a person in place of another. That's the meaning. We talk about substitute teacher. When the main teacher is unable to come to the classroom, they will send a substitute teacher, a replacement. And let me illustrate this word substitution. In a class of many students, there were particularly two students of consideration, Peter and John. John disobeyed the teacher by doing some naughty things in the class that annoyed the teacher. The teacher wanted to punish John. Listen carefully. The teacher asked John to come and stand in the corner of the class as a form of punishment. But Peter volunteered to bear the punishment for John. The teacher asked why. Peter said, John was handicapped and was incapable of bearing the punishment. He could not stand at the corner of the class because he was handicapped. So Peter became the substitute for John. We are all like John. We all have disobeyed God and sinned against God. And God's wrath is upon us, and rightfully we deserve punishment from God for our sins. However, Christ volunteered to become our substitute on the cross to bear the punishment for our sins, because he knew we are incapable to bear God's punishment. We are incapable, just like the handicapped John. And that is substitutionary atonement for sin. I may not be able to explain exhaustively, but at least this is the basic understanding. And that was what the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53 verses 7 and 8. So how did the eunuch respond to the gospel? So we come to the fourth heading, response to the gospel, verses 36 to 39. So while they were traveling on the road, they saw some water. What did the eunuch say? Look at verse 36b. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He was asking a rhetorical question. The expected answer is nothing. Of course, nothing could hinder the eunuch from being baptized. However, Philip wanted to be careful and wanted to be sure before he could baptize the eunuch. Philip examined his faith in Christ. By the way, if you wish to become a member of a church, this is how you will be examined by the elders of a church. Philip was willing to baptize him if he trusted Jesus for his salvation. Immediately, the eunuch made a credible profession of faith in Jesus. He confessed that he believed in Jesus Christ and that he is the Son of God. He believed that Jesus is the Anointed One, meaning the Messiah, meaning, in other words, He believed that Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king. The eunuch believed that Jesus is God. Truly, now nothing hinders this new believer from being baptized. The eunuch commanded the chariot to be stopped. Both of them went into the water. Can you imagine water in the desert? And you can imagine how much water that could have been. Remember, water is the symbol of purification, cleansing from dirt. The water points to the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from sin. So, Philip baptized the eunuch. For the eunuch, that day marked the beginning of his new life in Christ. You see, during baptism, a special mark was placed on him. And what is that mark? The mark is this, that he, the eunuch, belonged to God. See, God claimed ownership on this particular person, the Ethiopian eunuch. And therefore he was added as a member of the universal visible church. Now, the eunuch experienced the joy of salvation. This is what happens to someone who is saved by Jesus. Look at verse 39b. And he went on his way rejoicing. You all might remember the first catechism, my favorite catechism, the easiest catechism to memorize. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So what is the purpose of man in life? What is the purpose of man in life? Worship and enjoy the Creator. Worship and enjoy the Creator. And how can you enjoy God? How can you enjoy God? First, you must know God. You know, everybody knows God exists. But not everybody knows God. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you, do you know God? And let me tell you this. Many people can claim happiness. You may claim that you have happiness. But then you may deceive yourself and others. But you cannot deceive God. The one who is truly happy is the one who is a follower of Jesus. The one who trusts Jesus. And I'm asking you, are you a follower of Jesus? We are told, after the baptism, Philip the Spirit caught Philip awake. We do not know how, but then he was found at Azotus and he continued preaching Christ in cities. And that's what we must do. We must continue proclaiming the gospel. And we must pray that many will join us to rejoice in their salvation. Well, we'll look at this text under four headings: obedience of Philip, ignorance of the Ethiopian eunuch, proclamation of the gospel, response to the gospel. I just want to say four things before we leave the text. Number one, goal of mission. Why do we do mission? What is the goal of mission? The answer is this. The goal of mission is to make one a worshipper of the triune God. That is the goal. Why do we do witnessing, evangelism and so on? Our ultimate goal should be to make that person a worshiper of God. See how important worship is? Because not many of them are found to be worshippers of God in this world. There is a lack. Number two, God's providence. Do you observe God's providence working out in the ministry of Philip to the eunuch? Did Philip plan to preach the gospel to the eunuch? Of course not. It was an unplanned encounter with the eunuch. See, God led Philip to minister to the eunuch. And God works out all these events in a wonderful manner. So do you pray to God to give you opportunities to share the gospel with others? When was the last time you thought of a person and prayed for the salvation of a person? Number three, also observe that the gospel is for all. It is not only for the Jews, it is for the Gentiles. It is for the Samaritans, which we saw in the early passages, and now we are seeing the gospel is also for the Egyptian eunuch. You know, in the Old Covenant, no eunuchs can enter the temple or the tabernacle to worship God, because it is against the law. But in the New Covenant, the way has been made for the eunuch. So the gospel is for all. As long as one repents of his sin and turns to Christ for salvation, the gospel is for all. Number four. I want to be personal to you. What is your response after hearing all this? First of all, do you know yourself? Do you know yourself? Do you know that you are a sinner, separated from God? Do you realize that you need to be saved from your sin? Do you know that no one can save you except Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is and what He's done for you on the cross? He died on the cross in your place, bearing the punishment for your sin. He paid it all. How are you going to respond to Christ? Turn away from your sins and believe in Jesus and be baptized. Because there is no other way. The Ethiopian eunuch believed in Jesus and was baptized. What about you? Do not delay anymore. May this day be the day of your salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for this passage. Father, we are thankful that the gospel is for all. That we can hear your gospel and be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, if there is anyone in this room who is not saved, Lord, we plead with you, may your Holy Spirit work in that person's heart. Soften the hardened heart, Lord. Oh Lord, lead that person to repent and to believe in you. And may that person desire baptism. And we pray that this person will rejoice in his or her salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.